Tune in to CITR Friday afternoons from 2 till 3:30 for Radio Zero, where your host DJ brings you an eclectic mix of new international pop, ranging from the most fashionably disaffected to the brightest sugar-coated music around, along with a good measure of vintage new wave, punk, and disco to kick off your weekend. That's Radio Zero, Friday afternoons at 2 on 101.9 FM, CITR.
Well, I hope everybody enjoyed the Barn Burner Halloween installment. I sure as heck did. I just got some great news from Cam from Radio Zero that he is going to be playing 100% Misfits today.
That's
wow.
Right.
Wow. That is good news. I don't even want to leave. That means I'm going to have to get to a radio like super fast as I'm trying to get home. Just to give you a heads up, Cam, I did play, I played Skulls today. Okay. So, you know, I mean, you know, you can throw it on again. That's a great song. So, you know, yeah, do it, man. Just let it go. What, what would you say your favorite Misfits album is?
I guess Static Age.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Big Walk Among Us is pretty good too, but Static Age is.
No, wait. Let me rephrase that. Whatever the pro wrestling Doyle and Jerry Only album is, that's the one I like.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The one where they're all jacked up on steroids.
The one where they actually went and did pro wrestling, and then they cut an album after that.
I know it's maybe the one that Michael Grusom went to run for like the Republican office. Maybe that one. Friggin' heck! Talk about a great band gone bad.
Yeah, except they had the Legion of Doom shoulder pad, so I liked that.
If you're a wrestling fan, that's good, I guess. Oh, I think they were like hanging with like Vampiro or something like that.
Oh God,
I'm not really sure, but anyways, Cam.
How the mighty have fallen.
How the mighty have truly fallen. Cam's gonna kick your ass with Little Misfits today. So let's see. What do we want to close off the set with today? Well, I think probably Vampire Blues by Wooden Chips is a good choice. So thanks for tuning in to the Barn Burner, and we're going to leave you, Vampire Blues. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
All right. That was a barn burner on CITR 101.9 FM, 102 FM, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And this is Radio Zero. What's up? I'm Cam. This is... Pardon me. It's a little bit after two. And that must mean that it's time for Radio Zero. Oh, yeah, you'd think so. Actually, it's time for the Halloween edition of Radio Zero, which I'm calling... I don't know. I was going to call it Radio 666, but that's kind of stupid. Anyway, we're going to go with that. If you can figure out a better thing for it, that better than Radio 666, then by all means, call in. What'll I give you? I don't know. I'll figure something out. We'll give you something good. And yeah, you heard right. We're playing 100% Misfits. So from here until 3:30, that's all you get. Which, if you're not a total buffoon, is totally awesome. So let's start it off. This is the Misfits on Radio 666. We lost a bit, and I'm gotten somebody calling in. Okay, we're going for more Misfits on Radio 666, or Stefan told me to call it Half Alive's Hellish Mashups or whatever. Anyway, here you go.
We are Yeah.
Mommy! Why don't they vote?
Single like the kids who are made to me.
Mommy, can I go on in? Go tonight!
My name is Natasha. I am a robot now. I am playing with my breast again. Nothing to do, nothing to do. Sometimes I listen to Misery Hour with Hans Close Wednesday at 11 before midnight. I don't think I like it.
All right. Welcome back to Radio Dead, Radio 666, the half alive hellish mashups. Yeah, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/radiozeroradio,
And we'll be live track listing. That'll be up in a few seconds. And I'm going to be taking Misfits requests only. And I don't want to hear... Nah, never mind. You can request anything you want. But I'm not playing any pro wrestling era Misfits. Anyway, yeah. Okay, so why are we playing all Misfits? I don't know. Because the best holiday that has ever been concocted is on Sunday. And there's about a billion parties going on this weekend. First and foremost, tonight at the Waldorf, the once mighty, now mighty again, Waldorf Hotel is open for business. yeah, so tonight is the start of a new weekly Friday called XO. It's the Halloween edition tonight. There are three rooms, a million DJs, food, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to be playing upstairs in the impossibly awesome Tiki Lounge. It's an analog-only setup. We'll be playing vinyl-only. Myself, Malcolm Jack from Sun Wizard, James Bull from Sun Wizard, and Tony X from the band that you all love to love, Needles and Pins. We're all going to be playing in there. Downstairs, there's Rico Uno, Genie, Seco's doing a Swag World all rap and dance hall. And club stuff in the downstairs. So, yeah, it's going to be insane. Oh, yeah, Gay Husband is in there. He's playing. I don't know who else is playing tonight. Maybe there's some guests. Also, tonight on the main stage downstairs in the cabaret, we're going to be hearing Black Wizard, Heavy Chains, and one other. But anyway, yeah, Black Wizard and Heavy Chains. Thanks very much. Two of the best bands in Vancouver by a good long stretch. Yeah, all right, so come check it out. Thanks to Stefan for calling in, giving me the suggestion for Half Alive's and Hellish mashups or whatever. Anyway, he got guest list for tonight. If anybody can top Stefan's suggestion, if anyone can top Radio Dead as a suggestion for today, I'll give you some guest list tonight for the XO party at the Waldorf Hotel. What else? Oh, I need to know where the best deal in town on fireworks is. I don't know if it's like uniform pricing across the board because I haven't gone to check it out. But if it is, then fine. But if it isn't, and there's some places are giving like sweet cut rate, I want to know about it because the... Well, okay, so there's a lot of stuff I like about Halloween. But one of them is that you're allowed to buy and then detonate firecrackers or fireworks all over the city. It's insanity to me. But, and that's something that doesn't exist in, like, I grew up in Alberta. That doesn't exist there. You just can't do it. I came here and I was like, what the hell is going on? Why does everyone like Halloween so much? And then I realized that it's awesome. It's the best thing going. It's better than Christmas by, like, I don't know, 100 million units of whatever, it's party units or whatever, I don't know. It's awesome, it's my favorite. Also, call in and tell me what your sweet costumes are going to be, I guess. I don't know. Call me up, 604-822-2487. Tyler's not in today because he got a job. Yeah, you heard it first, right here. Tyler Fedchuk, employed. I'll say it again, just in case you thought you didn't hear right. Tyler Fedchuk, employed. All right, here's Devil's Whorehouse on Radio Dead or whatever.
Devil's Song!
well as Nike Agogo by the Misfits. We're going to be playing it all the whole show. Go buy some fireworks and bring them to me. Okay.
Was attitude.
It was the Static Age mix. It's pretty. That's from the original Static Age. It's pretty soft, actually. the song, of course, not, but the recording a little bit soft, a little bit low. Okay, so here's a story about fireworks. My brother's gonna hate me for telling this. Okay, so I'm in Whistler. I used to be a snowboarder in years past. Anyway, I was at this contest. I had come out from Calgary to this contest in Whistler. And so we were there for like a week. And I was like, I don't know, I must have been 18 at the time or 17, something like that. Anyway, me and all these other guys that were half-pipe jocks were up there. And there was this kid, Adam, that was on our team. And my younger brother came and a bunch of people. There was like 10 of us in all. And so we're out one night because we got there with like 6 days to go before the contest. So obviously, what a normal person would do would go and practice. But we went out and got really drunk. Anyway, this one night we're walking around Whistler, and my brother, he had bought a bunch of firecrackers. And Adam, okay, I gotta preface this story. Adam, we used to give Adam a real hard time because he was a male model. He was like he had like the most beautiful face. And it kind of made everyone mad because he was like, he's the kind of guy that like he would like walk into a room and all the other dudes in the room would just, they would evaporate in all the girls' minds. You know, like there just wouldn't be anyone else. These girls would just get pie-eyed looking at him. And he used to just get laid all the time. And this is like when he was so young too, like it was mind-bending to me. Anyway, so in any case, to like, even the scores a little bit, we used to really make fun of him for being a pretty boy. So we're walking around Whistler, and my brother's got all these firecrackers, and, you know, we've been drinking. Well, we were drunk. And my brother thinks it's funny to grab these firecrackers. He's lighting off firecrackers. He's ahead of us with, like, we're walking in sort of two groups of about five people, right? And he's in the group that's ahead, and he's lighting firecrackers, throwing them behind himself and basically at us, and they're blowing up on the ground around our feet, and he's thinking that it's, like, the funniest thing that could possibly happen. So, which is pretty sweet. It's a pretty good thing to do, even now. But at any age, really, it's fun for all ages. So he's throwing these firecrackers, and they're blowing up, and we're all having a good, solid laugh, and we're walking around the town and generally, you know, just being shits. And one of the firecrackers, well, we're telling Nate to shut up. We're like, all right, Nate's the name of my brother, by the way. We're like, Nate, okay, enough. Like, you've thrown a lot of firecrackers, whatever. It's very funny, but, like, now you're sort of kind of annoying, and it's getting a bit much. And he's like, yeah, okay, fine, whatever. I'm not going to throw any more. He decides to throw one more as, like, but maybe I'll throw one. So he throws one, and it was cold, right? Like, we're in a mountain town. That's important to the story. So we're walking. We're outside. We've been drinking. And it's cold outside. So we all have big winter coats on, and the jackets are zipped up all the way. And, you know, we're all bundled up. And Adam, who was sponsored by Burton at the time, he had just gotten this new jacket. And it was like this new, like, puffy, sweet, whatever jacket. It was like not out yet. It was coming out next season. And he was really stoked on it. And he was just like, you know, like he was kind of strutting around this thing. And Nate throws the firecracker, and it falls directly down the tiny, tiny crevice between Adam's zipped-up collar of his jacket and his neck. So, and this is like a 20-foot impossible, like, from half-court, you know, in the movie Celtic Pride, when he, like, does the... Probably you don't know this, but I like the movie Celtic Pride for personal reasons. But in Celtic Pride, Dan Aykroyd and... what's the other guy's name? Daniel something. Daniel Stern. Anyway, they're these super big Celtics fans, and they get the chance on the last game that the Celtics are ever playing in whatever stadium that they're playing in to do a shot from half court. And Dan Aykroyd does the shot, but he does it like one-handed, underhand, and he's like wearing cowboy boots and shorts. It's ridiculous. Anyway, he nails the shot. It's a swish. And this is exactly what happened with Nathan Adams. So he nails this like half-court swish from, you know, from 100 miles away, drops a firecracker right down Adams' neck, and Adam doesn't know what's happening, right? He just knows that something hot is down there. And he's like, ah, ah, ah. And then it explodes on his throat, and we see it like blows a hole in the front of his jacket, and we see it, and it's just like we hear like the muffled like, you know, and all of a sudden there's smoke pouring out of Adam's jacket, and so the thing has exploded his neck, and then the smoke from it, because like he goes into shock immediately, right? So he takes a giant deep breath and inhales all of the smoke from this thing, and it makes him pass out. So he's like, he goes like, and then immediately keels right back over and falls down onto his back and whacks his head on the ground. And we're like, oh man. Nate's like, oh shit, like I might have killed. And this, oh, by the way, this is Nate's best friend at the time. Nate's like, oh no, like I may have killed my best friend. And so we rush over to him, get some air, we fan him off, and he's like kind of waking up. He's coming to because he's gotten some oxygen or whatever. And we're like, Adam, are you all right? And he's like, what? He's totally disoriented. He's like, oh, what happened? What happened? We're like, nothing. You're, I don't know. You'll be fine. So we like zip the jacket open, peel back the like blown up neck of this jacket, and Adam's neck, there's like a giant black explosion crater in the middle of his throat. It's like, you know, on Wile E. Coyote, when Wile E. Coyote like tries to put a bomb on the Roadrunner, and then the Roadrunner like figures out how to make Wile E. Coyote like sit on the bomb without knowing it or whatever, and then the bomb explodes and the ground is like covered in scorched, you know, like the ground is like scorched earth or whatever. Anyway, that's what his neck looked like. There's like little pieces of paper from the firecracker that are stuck to his neck, and it's like gooey and gross and bleeding. We're just like, oh man. But on the upside, it didn't blow like into his throat or something. It just blew a bunch of his skin up. So we get him home, and one of the parents of one of the kids that was on this snowboard team or whatever was there as like a chaperone, and she was pretty loosey-goosey, you know, like she was like, all right, whatever, you guys can go out and have a couple drinks, like just don't do anything stupid, you know. And we're like, yeah, no, of course we wouldn't do that. So we like carry home our buddy who we just like blew up with an explosive. Anyway, she had a background in nursing, so she was able to like dress the wound pretty well. Yeah, it behooves me to tell you that Adam had just recently that year won this like modeling competition or like face seeker thing or whatever. Anyway, he was crowned the fresh face of not of Calgary and not of Alberta, but of Canada. He was crowned the fresh face of Canada. So he was like really on the up and up. He was scheduled to go to like, you know, go do a tour in Europe and go to Japan. He ended up going to Japan, actually. But anyway, he was supposed to go do like all this modeling work, and it all evaporated right after he got home. The like neck thing healed, but you could see it looked like he had had a tracheotomy, you know. Well, not quite that bad, but he like had this like crater on his neck, and so he went to a couple jobs, and they had him in makeup for like 5 hours trying to cover this thing. And then they're just like, well, look, we don't know what to tell you, man. Not really gonna be able to do any modeling anymore. And so Nate ruined his career by throwing a firecracker on his neck. Anyway, go buy some fireworks and then tell me a story about hurting yourself. I'll tell you another one when we come back from More Misfits.
You love us, well I turned into a marshal. Whoa! Old or New Testament?
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilot. Remember Pilot from the New Testament?
But this Pilot, he fiddled well.
Yeah, no, well, just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilot want Jesus to be crucified?
Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Night Watch Show. What's your job?
Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
I'm gonna go.
Okay, all right. So, yeah, that was Teenagers from Mars off of Static Age. All right, so we got a new champion. We're calling it Radio Epilepsy because all we listen to are the fits, which that's pretty sweet, actually. Anyway, also, we just had a call-in story about... fireworks disasters. Stefan was climbing up a school with a modified Hummeroo to like chuck it in the window of a school, and blew up in his face, blew him off the like wall he was climbing up or whatever, and he couldn't hear out of his left ear for like a couple hours, so that's pretty sweet. And apparently someone in his elementary school blew his entire face off with gunpowder in his hands, so there's that. The first time that I ever played with firecrackers and bottle rockets, my next door neighbors are two doors down from me. There were these kids that were my friend. Well, ostensibly they were my friends. You know, you grow up next to some kids and like you're always kind of friends and you're always kind of enemies. It was like that kind of a dynamic. Greg and John, they were older than us. Greg was 2 years older than me and John was 2 years older than Greg. And so mostly my younger brother just took the full brunt of the wrath of John. John was like a pretty angry guy, and he was always really picking on Greg. And then when Greg, when he was sick of that, he'd go pick on me. But a lot of the times he'd really like let my brother have it because Nate was always kind of just sort of like... tagging along or whatever, and so we'd always be just like, get out of here, or we'd be like, all right, this kid's gonna get it today. So anyway, whatever. But John turned his wrath on everybody. So the first time I ever played with firecrackers, I was up. Greg and John's parents were out of town for some reason, and it was just like they went on a day trip. They're like big into hiking and skiing and stuff, so they would always take these day trips. They'd be out of the city, and Greg and John sometimes would go and sometimes wouldn't. And then finally, they got old enough they didn't need a babysitter anymore. And John was like, they would just go so wild when their parents were gone. So Greg calls me this one day. I remember it was in the fall, and he's like, hey, what are you doing right now? I'm like, I don't know, nothing. I'm being a kid. And he's like, yeah, okay, whatever you're doing, just drop it right now and come over to my house. Me and my brother are shooting bottle rockets and firecrackers across the alley at at the Gormans. And the Gormans they lived across the alley from Greg and John, and they were fine people. They're totally nice. They had a bunch. They had four daughters and a son, or three daughters and a son, or something. Anyway, the son, Michael, I don't know. Like, he was a nice enough kid. I didn't know him that well, but John just didn't like him at all. Neither did Greg. They really just decided they were gonna, you know, pick on this kid. So they used to do just the worst stuff. But anyway. Greg's like, we're up on my roof and we're shooting bottle rockets and firecrackers at Michael Gorman's house. I'm like, sold. I'll see you in like, if I could somehow be there now, I would be there now. So I'm running. Like, I'm like, see you later, Mom. I'll see you later. I'll be home for dinner or whatever. She's like, yeah, okay. And I'm just tearing ass across the lawns to get over to Greg and John's place. Get there. And this is a recipe for the sweetest time as a kid. I must have been... I don't know, 9, 8 years old, something like that. So we got parents not home. We got climbing up on the roof. We got explosives. And when I got up on the roof, first of all, we had to get onto the roof in this really weird, screwy way. Like, John and Greg had to, like, unscrew, what are those called? Like a screen, one of the window screens on one of the upstairs windows in their house. And then you had to do this, like, super treacherous little jump to like the low level roof and then run up to the top of that roof and then jump up onto the top roof and run up to the top of the peak of that, and that's where he was sitting. So that's sweet. You feel like Indiana Jones. And then when I got up to the top, I realized I didn't know what bottle rockets were. I was just like, okay, yeah, that's fine, whatever. I didn't realize how sweet bottle rockets are, how truly awesome bottle rockets are. They're so much better than regular firecrackers. But then, so we were shooting the bottle rockets, and then we ran out of bottle rockets, and I was like, well, what about these firecrackers? And they're like, yeah, we'll shoot those across too. And I'm like, well, how? You know, the distance between our roof and their house is like, I don't know, a backyard, a full alley, and then another backyard, and then their house, right? So that's like, I don't know what that is, 80 feet, 100 feet, something like that. It's a long way. Bottle rockets, no problem. They'll get across there. But firecrackers, what? And John produces out of nowhere, like, I don't know, like Thor or something. He produces a, like, hunting slingshot, of which I had never seen before. I was like, what? I was fully convinced that, like, I had made a slingshot when I went to camp earlier that year. And I made it like a Dennis the Menace style slingshot, and those are stupid. You can't get any like power out of them, or I couldn't at the time, at least. I was a little kid, so I kept on like you hold it, but it's like it flops all over the place, and it's just kind of a waste of time. And I was like, slingshots. I don't really get it. Like Dennis the Menace has steered me wrong. And so he pulls out this thing with the arm brace on it, and I'm like, what is that? And he's like, oh yeah, this is my slingshot. I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. So we're like loading up firecrackers in the slingshot, lighting them off, and zinging them across the alley, and they're exploding. They're going willy-nilly, right? But it was so rad. It was like all the best stuff. The Gorman's mom came out and started like kind of hollering at us, so we had to make tracks and get out of there. So we jumped down in a real big hurry, got back in the house, and like we were like hiding, like, oh my god, is she gonna call your mom? I don't know. Is she gonna call my mom? I don't know. Anyway, it was totally awesome. But we didn't have any injuries. But I certainly have another story about injuries with fireworks, and I'll tell it to you after the break.
Yeah, it's sick. Yeah, that's good. Wait, hold on a minute. Pull it up. Stop. You know what you want to do with that, right?
Put it on CITR 101.9 FM.
You want to put a banging donk on it. Yeah, 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 that's sick, that is sick. I can definitely drop to that one. All we need now is like a hook line. You know what, I've got actually the perfect one. Bassline! Oh, wicked! Now put a donk on it.
Little angel in red, see there's nothing new.
All right, so I just got a call in from the world-famous Tyler Fedchuk, checking on whether or not I had made it to the show. I answered, instead of answering Radio Zero, I answered Radio Epilepsy. And Tyler was so confused. He's like, hello? I'm like, yep, hello. And I didn't recognize his voice anyway. I was like, yo, oh, hey, man. He's like, why did you say epilepsy? I was like, because we're only listening to the Fits. He's like, what? I was like, dude, I'm just playing 100% Misfits. He's like, oh, awesome. Got really pumped. I was like, what song should I play next? He goes, oh, you should play Some Kind of Hate. And then he's like, oh, wait, you should play definitely Halloween 1 and 2. You should play, and then he's just like, no, you know what? They're all hits. You can anything you want. I can't make a request. They're all perfect. I was like, yeah, you're right. They are. That's awesome. So anyway, without further ado, here's Some Kind of Hate for Tyler Fedchuk. Happy Halloween. That was Some Kind of Hate for Tyler Fedchuk, who is in absentia. Okay, so I promised you that I would have another story about injury in fireworks, and I do. So the first time I ever played with fireworks was on the roof of Greg and John's place. They were shooting it at Michael Gorman. The second time I ever played with fireworks was the very next day, because John had a bunch of firecrackers left over. And so after school, his parents both worked, so they were out. So we would have like 3.5 solid hours before his parents got home to like do the dinner or whatever. And we would just, you know, like do what we did. So we were so fired up from all the explosions from the day before. Greg catches me at the tail end of school. And he's like, let's go. Hurry up. We got to go home. We're going to blow up the rest of those firecrackers. We got to do it before my parents get home, before everybody else's parents start trickling in the neighborhood. We got to do it. I'm like, okay, sweet. So we get home. We run. Get there. And John is already ready. And his idea for the day is he wants to blow up his parents. Sorry, let me say that again. He wants to blow up a mailbox. Somebody's mailbox. But he's one of those kids who's like a brat, but also like a coward. So he thinks, like instead of just going and finding some house and blowing up a mailbox at it, like a regular punk would do, he's too much of a coward about it, so he decides, oh, we'll just blow up my parents, so then, you know, whatever. If it goes awry, at least it's just my parents. I'm like, okay, man, this is a totally stupid plan, but whatever. So he's lighting fireworks, or firecrackers. He's got a bunch of them in his hands, and then he opens up the mailbox, drops them in, closes it up. They all blow up in the mailbox. The lid goes flapping all over the place, and it gets dented and stuff, and we're stoked about that. We're having a huge, huge laugh about it. And then Greg, who is younger than John and considerably clumsier than John. Greg was, like, really into sports. We were always playing sports all the time. Like, whatever. We snowboarded together. We skateboarded together. He got into BMX, and, like, he played hockey. He played lacrosse. He played soccer. He played, what else did he play? Baseball, maybe, for a while. Anyway, he played, like, everything under the sun, and he was, like, mildly good at all of them. But he was always getting hurt so bad. I remember he broke, well, he broke, like, his left wrist 6 times in his life, and his right wrist he broke 4 times, like 10. And he broke his, I remember he broke his leg because he slipped a pedal on his BMX, and, like, the pedal came whipping around and hit him in the shin, and it broke his leg. He was just frail and clumsy. So, so he's like, oh, let me try. I'm going to blow this mailbox up, too. So in typical fashion, he, like, loads his hand up with, like, 3 or 4 firecrackers. It was cold out. It's important to mention that it was cold out, so we were wearing gloves. So he's wearing gloves. He lights these firecrackers. He lights, like, 2 of the firecrackers or whatever. And he's running over to the mailbox, and he's like, ah, ah. And he's kind of shaking, and he's nervous. And he's like, what do I do? What do I do? He gets them all loaded up. And we're like, you throw him in the mailbox, you idiot. But by the time we tell him what to do, the wick on the firecracker in his hand has already gone out. Or not out, it's just run out. And the firecracker explodes, and he blows up, like, 4 firecrackers in the palm of his hand. It blows his hand wide open. But he was wearing a glove, luckily. But he, like, sprained all his fingers, the force of it. Like, he was holding a fist, right? And, it, like, the force of it blew his hand open so hard that, like, the fingers went backwards or something. I don't know exactly what happened. Anyway, the whole palm of his hand was, like, a dark bruise. And I can't remember what he told his parents. Eventually it came out because they were like, what the hell happened to the mailbox? But he told them that he had fallen down and, like, his hand slapped the concrete or something. Anyway, yeah, so there's that. He blew his hand open. It's not as... I should have told the Adam story, the neck blow-up story, last. But, yeah, anyway... Those are the breaks, I suppose. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. Let's, I'm going to play a PSA, and we'll get back to the Misfits. Call in if you have any requests. 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. You're listening to CITR 102 FM, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
It's our pledge drive here on NPR, and we have a 20-minute field recording of a tumluku, which is a Bosnian instrument which can only be played when you have a pierced scrotum and 3 kids who have been killed by a landmine. It's unlistenable radio! You understand me?
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Totally listenable radio.
Thank you. Here at CITR, we have the best DJs. Think about becoming one at that level. Be one of the 6 lucky winners to attend Tom Lee Music's new to DJing workshops, and you will get a 1-hour one-on-one crash course to learn the basics of cueing, mixing, and scratching, as well as insight into the many hardware and software options available to DJs today. One of Vancouver's top DJs will show you the ropes in Tom Lee Music's Next Level Studios. It's all part of the Next Level Learning Center, offering courses in songwriting, music career development, music business and networking, live performance coaching, software recording, and much more. Tune in to Notes from the Underground, Crimes and Treasons, and Radio Zero to hear your favorite DJ spin and call in to win your very own DJ workshop. For contest details, visit CITR.ca.
All right. What did we just hear? Children in Heat. Okay, so we had Anthony call in and give us an awesome, awesome fireworks accident story. What happened? Okay, so if I understood him correctly, he tells me that he prefaces the story by saying he's a huge pussy. Anyway, I take this to mean that he felt like he was a bit of a coward when he was growing up. So he's out. It's Halloween, and you can't light fireworks off after Halloween, right? You get in trouble. So it's at the end of the night, and him and his buddies are like, "Well, we gotta ditch all these fireworks. We gotta blow them all up. So what are we gonna do?" And I guess they go to the school and they pile them all up in a big pile, and then they pour lighter fluid all over it, and they're like, "This is gonna be a huge fireball." And Anthony said that he wanted absolutely no part of what was going on there, so he took a couple of steps back and was like, "Whatever, guys, you do it. I'm gonna stand and watch, but like, I don't wanna be down with this at all." They light the thing, and everyone's waiting for it to go off. And he said it starts to go. Everything starts to light up. And I guess like a zingaroo or whatever, like one of those. Or no, an air bomb lights first. And you know these things, right? They go like super far. They blow up. They go right up into the air, and they blow up huge, a huge, gigantic kaboom. Anyway, this air bomb comes flying out of the fireball, ricochets off the school wall, and Anthony describes it as like in Foursquare, which is awesome. I haven't thought about Foursquare in a good long while. So like in Foursquare, the air bomb comes flying off the wall, and it's coming straight for Anthony. It's going directly for his left ear. He manages to get his hand over his ear. The air bomb explodes on his hand, scorches his hand, and he said he couldn't hear out of his left ear for like 4 days. So, Anthony, we'll see you at the Waldorf tonight. You got guest list, buddy. That was an awesome story. Okay, back to it.
1, 2, 3, 4! Fire!
It's about that time. It's 2 minutes to 3:30. Thanks everybody for listening in to Radio Dead, Radio 666, Radio Epilepsy, Radio Zero. You can check us out next week. We'll be back to whatever it is we normally play. and probably we'll hear from the likes of Tyler Fedchuk. We got plenty of new songs for you, but there's absolutely no way I can pass up just not playing 100% Misfits. So happy Halloween to everybody. Hopefully I'll see you tonight at the Waldorf, tomorrow at the Waldorf. Sunday night I'm going to Nas Halloween at the Astoria, and we're all going to be celebrating. So go get some fireworks, go hurt yourself. Make sure to get to the Waldorf early for tonight for EXO, and tomorrow for the grand opening Halloween party with myself and Tyler Fedchuk as the Ice Cream Social, and Johnny Grayson and Jared O'Dill as Soul Club. Tonight at the Waldorf, we're going to be hearing Black Wizard and Heavy Chains and one other band that I can't remember off the top of my head. And tomorrow, we're going to be hearing Joyce Collingwood and Animal Bodies. And Animal Bodies is going to be debuting a new 7-inch. So, yeah, come check it out. It's going to be a huge party. Happy Halloween.
epilepsy.